At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It is July 6, 1989, the last meeting of the Warsaw Pact. In the room are significant figures of the Soviet domination of Central Europe, the Soviet ambition to take over Europe. In the room, one man more important than any other is Gorbachev. Gorbachev is now the head of the Soviet Union, and he's also a man who's supervising the Warsaw Pact. The Warsaw Pact is made up of countries such as Romania, Yugoslavia, Poland, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, and most importantly, Hungary. Because also in that room is a man named Nemeth, a very young prime minister born 1948, for what is also in the room, the leaders of other countries in the Warsaw Pact. A man named Ceausescu, the absolute dictator of Romania, is pounding the table and yelling at Nemeth, yelling at him, accusing him of betraying the socialism of the Warsaw Pact, accusing him of undermining the power that they possess to protect their people from the predatory capitalists across the Iron Curtain. Telling this story is Matthew Longo, assistant professor of political science at Leiden University. The book is The Picnic, A Dream of Freedom and the Collapse of the Iron Curtain. But we begin with the villains in the room. Matthew, congratulations. This is a brilliant telling of a story I had no knowledge of. Who is Nemeth? Who is Ceausescu to yell at him? And what does Nemeth make of Gorbachev in the at that moment? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you. So to further on this stage setting, what Ceausescu represents in a way is the old guard, someone for whom the Warsaw Pact and the whole construct of the Soviet Empire was in a way a boon. This is a person who never had no desire for change, no desire to see anything about either liberalism or democracy creep in across the Iron Curtain. And what you had with Nemeth, so I should mention he's in Romania, which is the border to Hungary's east. Nemeth is a younger man. He's actually the youngest prime minister in the Eastern Bloc and the second youngest in the world at this point in July 1989. He's an upstart. This is not your classic Eastern European leader. He's young, he's intelligent, he's trained in economics. He had a fellowship at Harvard. And he sees the writing on the wall in Hungary. He sees an economy that's collapsing. And he wants something of liberal democracy, something like a multi-party state. He realizes the trajectory Hungary is going on is unsustainable. So you have Nemeth as the reformer in the room and Ceausescu as the old guard in the room. The reason it's so loud and so violent, with Ceausescu banging on the table, one of my favorite anecdotes of this moment is Ceausescu refuses to address Nemeth as comrade. He addresses Nemeth as mister, right? He doesn't even give him the dignity of being a socialist at the table of socialists. But the reason what Nemeth is doing is so radical, as opposed to what is happening in Poland, okay? Because Poland was also a reform state at this point. Hungary and Poland represent the most progressive wings, and Romania, let's say, is the least progressive wing or so. What Nemeth is doing that's so radical is he isn't just reforming Hungary. He's trying to chip away at the Iron Curtain itself, which is to say he's chipping away at the authority of all these states, including Romania. So Ceausescu is threatened and scared. So the only person in that room Nemeth can appeal to is, of course, the only person more powerful than any of them, which is Gorbachev, who was a reformer himself, head of the Soviet Union.
Nemeth looks at Gorbachev. Does Gorbachev look back?
At one point in the proceedings, Nemeth is terrified. He doesn't know how this is going. He doesn't know where it's going to end up. As it already had happened, he had to sleep outside in a tent because his men had gone into the hotel early to find that there was too much radiation. In other words, there was a plant to kill him, to expose him to the kind of radiation that would be deadly. Nemeth knew he was on the edge and knew his life was in danger. At one point, the proceedings get so hot, he looks at Gorbachev, and Gorbachev subtly, quietly does something so incredibly profound. He looks back at Nemeth and he winks. He winks in a way, it's subtle, looks like just a little twitch of the eye. No one else in the room picks up on this, but Nemeth knows it doesn't matter what Ceausescu says. He has someone to protect him that's way more powerful.
They've met before, 1984, when Nemeth was working in agriculture and so was Gorbachev before his elevation to be the leader of the Soviet Union. And Nemeth had an audience, supposedly 15-minute audience, in the Kremlin in early March of 1989. It went for 2 hours. And what came up, in addition to the men disagreeing about what needs to be done to reform, what came up is Nemeth wants to take down the Iron Curtain. What did Gorbachev make of that?
Yeah, it's a terrific meeting and a terrific moment in history, which was, of course, at the time, secret. But now we know the details, in part because of my own interviews with Nemeth, but also in part because of the public record. Yes, they went in. They disagreed ideologically about change. They're both reformers, but the disagreement is important. Nemeth actually wanted to see a post-communist Hungary. Didn't mean a purely liberal, purely democratic Hungary, but a post-communist Hungary. He saw that the economy had to be reformed in a liberal direction, and he saw that the state had to reform in a multi-party direction. That was not what Gorbachev had in mind. That was not what perestroika, for example, meant, or glasnost meant to Gorbachev. But despite that disagreement, the Iron Curtain was something that Nemeth was quite adamant about had to change. The reason is because the actual technology of the curtain, the actual lines and wires and mines and electricity and all the different aspects of the Iron Curtain were decades old at this point and had become basically ineffective and had become too expensive to maintain without reforming. Nemeth put the bottom line to Gorbachev and said, look, we can't keep this. We want to turn the electricity off. Okay, we'll keep our border. The border stays shut, right? It's not an open country. But the fencing that made the Iron Curtain so deadly, we're not going to pay for. And Gorbachev looked back at Nemeth and said, well, that's your problem, right? If you want to do that, I won't stop you. And so Nemeth left Moscow with this incredible green light. So what he started doing immediately is making plans to start to reform the Iron Curtain, in particular, taking away all the fencing, all the electric current that made it so deadly. And this is the beginning of the great era of change in Hungary. Suddenly, the Iron Curtain, the mighty Iron Curtain, in a matter of months, became reduced to a border like any other.
One detail. Nuclear weapons. At that meeting with Gorbachev, there's a dramatic moment. The music comes up, Matt. Gorbachev says, everybody stop taking notes. What does Nemeth learn?
So Gorbachev's principal concern is the nuclear arsenal in Hungary. Now, Nemeth was the prime minister. Nemeth didn't know there was a nuclear arsenal in Hungary, nevertheless where it was. And it was, in fact, ironically, so the meetings in which I'm meeting Nemeth and during our interviews take place about 20 kilometers away from where the stash was outside Lake Balaton. What Nemeth wants is a small withdrawal of forces. And Gorbachev is happy to do this. So Nemeth can come home with a sort of little show of success. You can say, look what I told you. I met Gorbachev, and now there's a smaller Soviet army. There had been hundreds of thousands of Soviet forces on Hungarian soil. But what Gorbachev wants is there to be absolutely no mention of the nuclear program in Hungary, because he knows if any of this got out to his own defense ministers, he'd be destroyed. And in fact, what we learn from that meeting isn't just how important, how sensitive the nuclear question is for Gorbachev, is that we learn how delicate his own seat is. The main take home that Nemeth has from that meeting isn't just that he can start to dismantle the Iron Curtain. It's that he's scared, not that Gorbachev will stop him, but that Gorbachev's seat is itself too hot and that someone will stop Gorbachev and some hardliner will come in. And that's not just the end of Gorbachev. It's the end of Nemeth also.
The book is The Picnic, A Dream of Freedom and the Collapse of the Iron Curtain. Matthew Longo is the author. We're going to the Iron Curtain itself. I'm John Batchelor.
From a meeting at the office to a big first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every event. But clothes don't make the man. So why stuff your closet with things that only work for some situations? With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting. Their clothing is understated and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They craft each piece by combining timeless style and modern performance materials, so you can stay looking good and feeling comfortable from morning to evening. No wardrobe changes required. Browse everything from summer-ready tech linen shorts and anti-odor polos to tailored sweats and crews for a night in. They can outfit you for anything, no matter what's on your agenda for the day. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.